Warning, the following contains depictions of adult themes, drug use, and wanton violence, sometimes flat-out war crimes. Listener discretion is advised. This is Starforged, Stones of Fortune. Starring Carlos as Solrock the Seer, Ramses as Merrick the Unseen, Jose as Jimmy Rings, and Luke as Spike. And I am your guide, your host, your editor, and all those other things, Redstone, also known as Adam in these recordings.
Well, so we were talking last week about experience, and so I was going through listening to some recordings, but some of the stuff I think I missed. I think I cut it out of some of the episode stuff. So I just wanted to go through what I have and if this sounds right. But at this point, you guys have actually jumped up to, you've earned 12 total experience you can spend, but part of that is stuff like you've literally just earned. So, I think Jimmy Rings actually had spent 10 out of the 10 experience you had already had, but I'll go through what I think. So I had that he's armored, and we upgraded the second ability, which made it to where you can now set your die to a 5 instead of a 4 if you, like, face danger, react under fire, or clash when you're in your suit. Okay. I also have that you... basically, you got an... Your armor suit now turns into an exosuit, and you have the zero-G thrusters so that you can, like, maneuver in space.
Yeah.
And that puts you at 10 out of 12 experience. So you've got two more sitting. Plus, everyone, you guys actually got some other experience, but it was all working towards, you guys were finding your ships that are the artifacts. So they were 4 experience apiece, but you all have your ships. So, which is the whole thing where when you're in it and you roll a 6, it's an automatic strong hit. If you roll a 5 and it is a hit, like something kind of more subtle happens with the ascendancy powers. And if you roll a 1 and it's a miss, like it's not an auto miss, but if you roll a 1 and it's a miss, if the ascendancy stuff actually kind of, like just narratively, seems to work against you. Just for flavor, it's not a, there's not an additional penalty.
Word up. I think Luke, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool.
Sweet. Then for Spike, I had, because you started off as an ace with the snub fighter and the vehicle bay, and then I had that you had bought the skiff, which only cost you 2 points instead of 3, and you had upgraded it to have a turret on it, which only cost you 1 experience instead of 2, and that you guys got the... and that you got the reinforced hull for 3, that means you've only spent 8 out of the 12 experience you have. And you'd upgraded your ace ability to when you gain ground by maneuvering, and you score a hit with a 4, 5, or 6 on the die, yada yada. But you'd upgraded the ace once. But yeah, that brings you up to 8 out of 12.
Okay. And how much is a new ability?
3.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 for a new card, and 2 for an upgrade.
And do you have that I got that parasite thing?
I have written down that you have a symbiote, but you haven't bought the card that gives you an ability. Like you have a symbiote, you just haven't been getting the perk from it yet.
Okay. Well, yeah,
Would
I'd
you
like
like to do that?
to. Yep.
Sweet. I'm adding the symbiote. That'll bring you up to 11 out of 12 experience used. So you still got an extra sitting, but you can't. Well, you could upgrade your skiff for which. What would that do? Your skiff is fully stocked. When you check your gear, add plus one and take plus one momentum on a hit. It's an okay ability. It's not great, but.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to do that. I'll hold on to the point.
Cool. All right, so the symbiote, just to read your the card, it says you are physically bound to a being with 2 health. When you make aggressive moves while giving yourself to the symbiote's power, add plus its health. If you face physical harm, you can choose to either endure harm or the companion, your symbiote, takes a hit. When you want to restore the symbiote's health, you must endure stress and give the symbiote plus health equal to the minus spirit you face. When you make a move aided by the symbiote and roll a 1 on the action die, your fragile bond is broken for several hours. So basically, you now have the symbiote that's like part of you. You can tap into it at times to like do stuff. But if you roll poorly, the symbiote gets hurt.
Okay. Cool.
It's upgradable abilities are the symbiote gains power and then has 3 health instead of 2. And then the other one is when you make a move and heed the symbiote's guidance, you can decide after rolling. You may re-roll any dice, but then you endure stress minus 2.
Yo, Adam, could you put what are they called? The cards up for me, or where's the link at, man? Did you send it to me?
I'll send you the thing for the Stargazer. It's got all the assets built
Yeah,
into
okay.
it.
Think you can put it in the chat.
Yeah.
Hell is a chat, though?
Well, that's there's chat here.
We chat called the e-girl paradise.
Let's see.
You said I have 2 experience, right?
Yes, you have 2 sitting.
And how much is an upgrade?
To upgrade any of your powers is to experience. But yeah, those little bubbles cost 2 to fill one in, and it's 3 experience to get a brand new card. Unless you are buying a support vehicle, because Luke has the vehicle bay, so that means any vehicle you buy only costs 2 instead of
Okay.
3, and upgrades only cost 1 instead of 2.
For the vehicle.
For the vehicle specifically, yeah. And other vehicles that you could buy, we
Where's the chat
have.
at?
I put it in the Starforge, the text channel, because there's not really a chat for this.
Oh,
Ooh,
yeah.
I. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Got it.
Oh, it's Carlos. He was just saying his mom called, but he's getting on.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jose's on.
Yeah, Ram's apparently sleeping, so.
Yeah, Ram's sleeping on us, bro.
What a
Everybody
fool. Go wake him
go head
up.
his way.
Go threaten his waifus.
Fucker stayed up all night.
Oh my God.
Damn.
So yeah, so Support vehicles that are still open for buying. We could get you a service pod, an unarmed utility vehicle houses one pilot for short range, low gravity operations. Basically, it's a little, I don't know. You've got a shuttle that actually then it's an unarmed shuttle, provides short range transport for several people and equipment. You could basically take plus one momentum when you go places. There's a rover, basically a car, that can also be equipped with modules, and there's a hover bike.
That sounds
We
pretty
could
good.
also get another skiff or whatever.
Fuck it, I guess I'm eating Hot Pockets for breakfast.
Oh shit. I'll be right back. Hot Pocket. Well, I think Merrick the Unseen is coming down with a hell of a head cold for this session.
All that space weed, bro.
If only he'd been the one to take that weird moving drug, the soy sauce. Then he could
Soy
just be
sauce.
like hung over from that shit. But that was Soul Rock.
Yeah, so I think Soul Rock was the one that took that.
He did. He did. He's the one that had the visions.
Oh yeah, space mode on the run.
Oh, you're here now. Woohoo!
Space
I miss you
Adderall.
coming back.
Space Adderall.
Yeah.
The
Space
Rams
Adderall.
not joining us because
Emmy's
he
not joining.
played video games all night.
Pretty much.
What a man's.
Oh my God.
Well, now that we've got Carlos back, I wanted to double check what abilities you have. I have written down that you have, well, you started off with Haunted, Empath, and Kinetic, and you've upgraded the Kinetic ability, both abilities. So now when your momentum is at max, you may attempt great kinetic feats, such as manipulating large objects and creating destructive bursts of concussive force. To do so, reset momentum, then as you make a single move fueled by your powers, take an automatic strong hit. If you're in a fight, mark progress.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you also have which we haven't actually really played with. You have a banshee that's kind of like a leopard, that like you can ride on planets and stuff.
This is correct.
Forgot all about
Yeah.
it. It had a name, but I don't remember the name.
Don't know if I wrote it down, so I think I was still working on a name.
Cool. But if that's all you have, then you have used 7 of the 12 experience you now have. So,
Righteous.
yeah,
You got a ton of
buying,
XP, bro.
yeah.
Yo, something happened. Well, you got the assets?
Carlos is that dude that plays through half of the game before getting any upgrades.
Oh, I've done that.
He can create a god.
Have y'all ever played Monster Hunter?
Dude, that's the third time Monster Hunter's come up today for me.
What
The
the fuck?
third separate conversation.
I want to say it's like not fun, and it's like I don't know. It used to be really fun for the Nintendo DS. Xbox version kind of killed it. Like it took a lot out of the game, but it also added a lot. So it's like just a different game. It's not bad.
Favorite part of Monster Hunter was the cat cooks.
Yeah. What are they called? Palicos. They're called
Palicos.
palicos in that game. Cats are palicos. And
They're like
dogs
little.
are. I can't remember what they're called. They only introduced them in the Switch version.
Yeah, that game I only played it on the Xbox, and I played it with somebody else who was like a way higher rank than I was. Was basically their assistant.
Yeah, no, it gets really. It's really about that multiplayer shit, so it's really fun when you get the homies on there.
Yeah.
And it's like four of you slashing at a big ass elder dragon.
It's pretty hard though.
Man, so it used to be harder. There used to be a big learning curve, and like I didn't know shit about the armor. I didn't know I could upgrade it, none of that. So I just playing the game, like getting my ass kicked, but getting really good at dodging and shit. And wasn't until like I met someone else that played that like took a look at my game and saw like what the fuck. Yeah, but like all this extra gear that you could use to upgrade your armor and shit.
The game mechanics aren't super clear.
The first time I played, I actually like dulled my weapon and I couldn't kill the monster, so then I had to like Google how to sharpen a weapon. And then like it taught me like you need a whetstone that you didn't bring with you on this mission, so you're pretty much shit out of luck.
Then what do you do?
Damn.
You literally, so like you hunt monsters, and in the game, monsters are like dragons. It's like a tiger that shoots lightning. It's like a chameleon that spits poison but also goes invisible. And these are all like different just creatures that exist in this world, along with humans. So as a human, you're trying to keep your civilization alive and keep the monsters at bay and shit. So like someone goes missing going into a forest, and someone puts a hit out on this monster. You got to take that mission to take him out.
Like the hive missions where you gotta go in and destroy eggs.
You monster.
I don't know if you can destroy eggs. I think you got to bring them back with you.
Is that it?
I mean, eggs do sell for a lot these days. That's a thing.
Damn.
Pushing.
I'm not using much like of my other skills, I want to say. I do want to upgrade something else eventually, but how much would it be to upgrade my Banshee to its max level?
It would cost you 4 experience of the 5 you have.
All right, let's do that.
All right. So then, so when you
He's just
make a
gonna have a
move, when you're
tiger.
riding the Banshee to avoid, to detect a threat or avoid a fight, you can add +1 to your roll and take 1 momentum on a hit. On a strong hit with a match, you're gone in a flash. Take another +1 momentum, and then when you make a combat move and roll a 1 on your action die, the Banshee senses the danger and emits a powerful scream to alert you or distract your foes. You may re-roll that die. Boom. And so that was. So now you've spent 11 to 12 experience, so you've got one sitting as well. Alrighty.
How much would it cost to get one other asset?
It costs 3 for
Okay.
an asset, unless it's a vehicle. Because Luke bought the vehicle bay, it only costs 2. And any vehicle upgrades only cost 1. And eventually I'm going to come up with some vehicle upgrades for your transforming snub fighter. But I haven't figured those out yet.
Right on, right on.
Cool. Well, okay, so since Merrick the Unseen is feeling ill, he's staying in his quarters while you guys, when last we left off, you guys had gone to the station Sisyphus looking for Clown Face Maraud, who had inadvertently captured one of the interdimensional jellyfish that you guys have befriended in general. Turns out this one's name is Faraz, or at least that's what Murad believes. And you guys checked him out. He seems like an actual good guy, and he
Good.
freed Faraz, and was feeding him or feeding it them, whatever we want to say. And Faraz was taking Clown Face Murad on a little trip that you guys kind of like jumped in on. And you guys travel through hyperspace, and Spike in particular, since you're flying, the nice thing is like you're able to just like ride behind Faraz, who's basic like the shuttle that Clown Face is flying doesn't have an e-drive. So literally you guys are both just like in its wake, and it's doing all the work. But you in particular realize that this is a rough ride. If you were trying to fly right now, this would be incredibly stressful. It would also, like, if it wasn't for the fact that this creature is kind of making a big old hyperspace bubble around you, like it's protecting you, The Nimbus might be taking a lot of physical damage too, which only seems to get worse. Like initially, it's not too bad. It's only as rough as it's normally been. That's been getting bad. But then, just the longer you fly, like 4 hours in, it is really rough. Till you guys pop out of hyperspace, and you guys are in orbit around. Well, your sensors tell you, you think that's Morphous, which makes sense because you definitely see the shield is up, but things just don't look right to you. And you guys get a message from Murad, who's like, hey guys, I'm not really sure where we're at, but... Faraz says we're about to see some of the craziest fireworks ever. Are you guys ready to see some crazy stuff?
Check it out.
All right. So you guys, shortly after this happens, you start hearing a little like beeping sound in the background. And BB comes in over the speakers like, "Hey guys, it's me, Blackbox, your ship's artificial intelligence. Just want to let you know, we're getting quite a few messages from the Weave. I don't know, some of them don't make all that much sense." And you guys get that viral news message that I had posted earlier that was like 6 minutes. I don't know, did you guys all listen to it? And if not, I can play it.
Oh, I didn't get a chance. If you can play it.
Sure. Let us get going.
This is Viral News with your host, the Madman Mike on the mic. Viral News is brought to you via computer virus, thus subverting all of the triumvirate's propaganda machine to make sure you get the news you need most. Viral News, the only news source you can trust. This is the Madman Mike on the mic with a special report. Fighting broke out in the Cygnus Schism around the Tranquility Station in a three-way battle between the Mormon Federation, the Covenant, and fighters defending Tranquility Station from both invaders. Early in the battle, the Mormon Federation and Covenant worked together to suppress the Freedom Fighters before concentrating on each other. All hope looked lost for a free Tranquility Station. That was until the Nimbus joined the fight. Directed by Tristram Tsunami Vasquez, the Golden Goons broke through to the front line, somehow capturing the Mormon carrier Banshee's Cry, and went on to destroy the Covenant carrier Onslaught. Having broken both of their command vessels, Freedom Fighters forced the Triumvirate to retreat to their respective home territories. Since then, a general ceasefire has been called for the entire Forge, a first in the nearly 200 cycles since humanity arrived in the Exodus. The ceasefire has been agreed to until the 200th anniversary of the arrival, which marks the beginning of peace talks between the Triumvirate and the Enlightened Worlds. Representatives from all factions are expected to attend at the currently defunct Station of Unity, the only space that was declared neutral since the arrival. Unfortunately, Unity is located in the Ebon Heart and was disabled by the Forge Spawn Horde in their attempts to contact the Nimbus. The Forge Spawn hasn't been seen in some time, and tensions are high that they might reappear. Attendees already named for the conference are as follows. Representing the Mormon Federation will be Nehi, the grandson of Lehi, the Mormon prophet. Representing the Covenant are the famous Silent Shadow, a group of special operators. The Menders have named Zoya Sakir as their representative, and voting has already begun on who will represent the Enlightened Worlds, with both the Golden Goons and Tsunami Vasquez taking an early lead. Could this be the end of the centuries-long war? One can only hope. Look out for updates to be posted on this file as the story develops, and to make your vote, link in the doobly-doo. This is Madman Mike on the mic reporting from Unity Station with a special update. Yes, that's right, I'm actually here at Unity Station while repairs are well underway.
With less than 3 days remaining until the summit, all life support systems are now online and the station is nearly fully functional once again. Work was sped up by the appearance of the Nauvoo, which has brought in workers and supplies from the Mormon Federation. Today, we expect contingents from both the Covenant and Promethea to arrive for additional support before the festivities begin. We've learned more on the roster of who's attending this conference. From the Secretive Couriers Guild, Jihin Sutton will be in attendance, as well as the infamous Crumbopulous Michelle, representing the Bounty Hunters. Word is that no one from the Bounty Hunters Guild really wanted to attend, and Michelle is, well, the only one who could be pressed into the job. Crumbopulous Michael, for those who don't know, is widely believed to be the most dangerous but unpredictable bounty hunter in the guild, with the highest recovery rate on bounties, but with literally none of them ever brought in alive. I'm sure his presence bodes wonderfully well for these peace talks. Golden Goons, Golden Goons, wherefore art thou, Golden Goons? I'm sorry, I didn't write this copy, and I'm all for sounding erudite, but this Shakespeare reference doesn't make any sense. Juliet is asking why Romeo, her love, is a Montague, her family's rival, not asking where he is. Sorry for the digression, but the point is, where are the Golden Goons? Having been elected to be representatives for the peace talks, the Nimbus is nowhere to be found. Last seen leaving the Sisyphus station, the Nimbus has been unseen and unreachable basically ever since the Battle of Tranquility. Tristan Tsunami Vasquez has been tapped as the lead representative in their absence and has appointed Severinus Mongoose Taylor as his second. That's all we have for now, but keep an eye out for updates to this file as we continue reporting from Unity Station as the conference takes place. Unless fighting breaks out and then we're getting the fuck out of here.
The following was in the buffer from Viral News before the feed was cut off. It is compiled here as is. We have received no further messages from Viral News.
This is Madman Mike on the mic reporting from Unity Station with a special update on the peace talks. A surprise member has arrived at the conference. Going by the moniker Nos, a gentleman arrived and with only a wave of his hand and a few words was able to completely bypass security. Nos claims to represent a secret group of presence users, which he called the Order, as well as being the representative of Promethea. Nos arrived alone on a smaller pod-like ship. His was the very last ship to arrive through the fiercest hyperspace storm ever recorded. Travel to and from the station is now practically impossible. The Silent Shadow, who had arrived just before Nos on the Hand of Fate, their carrier ship was severely damaged by the storm. Sources tell me there will be a private party aboard the Nauvoo tomorrow for Lehi's birthday, and only the triumvirate representatives have been invited to attend. Oh shit. Hey listeners. I've been recording from the control room here at Unity, and looks like a fleet of ships is arriving. That's at least 20. No, maybe 30. Oh no, it's the Forge.
Fuck.
Yo, did anyone get the invite?
Crumbopulous is gonna be there.
Yo, was that guy talking shit about Shakespeare?
I was just making a dumb joke. Black Box is like, weirdly enough, that message and that final update is 17 cycles old, which 17 cycles is 17 years.
What?
I'm getting readings from what's left of the Weave, which seems to be highly damaged, that it is the year 217 since the arrival in the Forge. And you guys have 248,762 messages unread.
BB, what the fuck is going on?
Where did that jellyfish take us?
It appears that he is the jellyfish has taken us through space and time. If I remember correctly, from what you guys said, that you have traveled in time before, but into the past, and that's how you got me.
Okay, wait. Can someone do a scan on how old I am? Am I 17 years old?
No. Relativity, right? Like, we're the same age.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And as you guys are discussing this, an entire fleet of ships starts coming out of gates, or coming out of hyperspace around Morpheus. They're not ships. They look like creatures. They are long, kind of black. They almost look like serpents in just like, but they're the size of like battle cruisers. But are definitely living beings, and they are, there's at least a dozen of them, maybe two dozen. It's just hard to tell because they're big and they kind of wriggle, and when they're all together, it's hard to tell. And they are all attacking Morpheus's shields. And very quickly, before you guys really have much time to really act, the shields explode. And a wave of energy wipes out. You see it disintegrate the creatures. And the wave is coming towards you guys. Like you're a little ways back. You're like more in like an orbit as far away as like the moon. While these things were like attacking like the atmosphere. But Luke, Spike needs to roll face danger, edge, to try to avoid what's incoming.
Come on, Baby Yoda.
All right, a 4 versus a 4 and a 6.
Plus edge.
That's plus, what, 2? It's a weak hit.
Your edge is 2. It is a weak hit. The ship is only going to withstand damage, minor damage. So it's going from, what's the ship at? Oh, the ship's at, I'm going to give you the chance to roll, if you want, you can try to roll shields to activate the shields. Or you can try to maneuver the ship. Which would you prefer to try to do?
Wait, if I was facing danger, my ace ability adds another plus 1, doesn't it?
Oh, yes it does. Yes it does.
Strong hit.
So I'm going to say a strong hit, you actually reach over, you flick on the shields just in time, and you actually, with a strong hit, I'm going to say you actually are able to maneuver it so that the shuttle that Murad is on is actually also protected. And you pop on the shield, and it takes the full brunt of the attack and wipes out your shields, but you guys are all safe. It's definitely, that was a big hit. But you guys come out of it fine. The shields will be down for the next couple hours, but you watch that wave of force disintegrate those creatures. Yeah, it just blows through you guys. When it fries them, it literally like burns them away, and so they kind of, I mean, it's kind of like fireworks in that the flaming wreckage of their bodies starts raining down into the atmosphere, and once it hits that, those like what wasn't already on fire is also catching on fire, and it is very pretty for being terribly destructive and scary.
All right,
neat.
Yeah. Carlos is just in the window like,
yeah, I mean, like, it was so quick, like, it might even be that, like, I think some of the crew was a little too, like, Spike being an ace pilot, being in the pilot's chair, like, saw it coming and reacted, while others were just like, wow, that's cool looking. And you guys are safe, and you see Morpheus, the planet itself is actually a little hard to see at this point, because of all the like fireworks display. But you are getting life readings from the planet that are a lot lower than you're used to seeing. Like the population seems to be down like to only a quarter or a fifth of what you're used to seeing, because it's normal, it's like the most populated world in the entire Forge. It was like the first place people landed, and it's a fairly built up planet, and you're definitely getting a ton of energy readings. Or at least a lot of signs of advanced technology that is also new to you, but way less life.
Okay, does anyone know what the fuck is going on? We fuck with time.
So Morpheus is that rebel planet, right?
Yes.
Okay. What the fuck is going on? Carlos, talk to your jellyfish friend.
Yeah, so you could either talk to the jellyfish. Somebody could also gather information from all the messages you guys have waiting. How would you like to...
I think more straightforward, just gather information, check through the messages.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay, because that'll be plus wits.
A 4 versus an 8 and a 9. So...
Which, man. I mean, so a miss, so just to, I'll read you what a miss is, because it's not that you don't get information. On a, gather information on a miss, your investigation unearths a dire threat, or reveals an unwelcome truth that undermines your quest. Pay the price. But here, what you are finding out is, let's see. Oh, you find a message from not too long ago, but we're talking like a year ago compared to the 17 years you've been gone, and it's to whoever is left, I'm sorry. An artificial intelligence known as Legion has taken over all three of the Triumvirate. I have been their pawn for many, many cycles now. At this moment, the AI's network is down. Run to Morpheus if you can. Those who know, get to the bodega. Aram is asking for any and all assistance, and he's going to need it.
Oh, bodega or Morpheus?
Oh, we're at Morpheus.
So bodega?
Do we want to, like... try to raise anyone on the planet?
You can if you'd like.
See if we can talk to someone here.
All right, let's do that.
All right. All right. You guys send out a healing frequency. Basically, you are shocked by... you are getting readings that are telling you that this facility has been recently taken over by what was once the Triumvirate. You get access to... Black Box is actually... like, hey, guys! I've been able to like tap into the... Morpheus weave system a little further, and I can give you some updates. It looks like, well, shortly after there was an attack at that Unity station, that whole conference that we were listening to, it sounds like shortly after that, the Triumvirate all declared peace and formed into one giant government. I'm concluding by Nas's message that the whole thing was controlled by the that AI called the Legion. That's like I'm a copy of. And then I'm seeing some stuff about the black gates opening and creatures coming through, and it sounds as if they basically started destroying the AI's network. But sorry, still parsing through all these unread messages. It looks like the creatures have been destroying all of what was left of humanity, and this seems to be their last bastion. Is only, I'm not seeing any other inhabited worlds or even stations. Everything seems to be here on Morphus and only here.
Oh, geez, guys.
Faraz is now opening a gate to hyperspace. It's opening hyperspace and about to take for Clown Face with it.
Ooh. Is there any indication about where he's going? Is he going back?
He hasn't talked to you. You haven't talked to it. You could try to reach. You have time to reach out if you'd like to either.
Friend.
Yeah, let's do that.
See what's up.
I just try to communicate, like, through the mind if it can take us back in time.
So go ahead and roll that plus heart to try to connect to it.
Ouch.
Uh-oh.
It's a 1 versus a 10 and an 8.
Ooh. Let's see. Oh, you understand that Faraz brought you here on purpose, because if you didn't leave the timeline, this couldn't have happened. So then there would be no reason for these creatures to be trying to take out the very last planet of humanity, and thus have this fireworks show that you just saw.
So it brought us here for the pretty lights, even though everyone else is doomed.
It brought you here specifically, like, humanity had to be doomed for this fireworks show to happen, and it's leaving you here. It's not. It's literally trying to strand you here in this timeline.
Got you.
Yeah.
We're meant to be, you know.
It's fucking jellyfish.
Yeah. This one doesn't seem to be nearly as nice as the others. Or, at least, doesn't see human. You get the feeling like it's like, yeah, your beings are a blight on the Forge. And I like it here where there aren't any of you.
Oh, he's got a point.
It's like, it likes Clown Face, and that's it. The rest of you can all go to hell.
We don't know where it's jumping. We can try to follow, or it can hit the bodega.
What are you thinking, Jose?
Oh, can't hear you.
Ooh.
Bodega what?
Is out of time. It's in its own pocket dimension.
Whoops. Technical difficulties.
Murder everyone.
Murder everyone. He who controls the path controls the planet.
Damn it, I missed everything.
Sorry, we were just starting a crusade because we lost our god.
Yeah, seriously.
Wait, what is your god now?
It's you.
Oh.
You went away, so we started a crusade.
There we go. Well, I have returned to you.
Okay.
Crusade's
all right. Dang. Alright. I think we're making our way to the bodega.
Okay. You guys are heading to the bodega. You plot a course. And so, yeah, the Faraz takes Clown Face with it and disappears into hyperspace to you don't have a fucking clue where, but it looked, you got the impression, Solrock got the impression that it was going farther into the future, like in the timeline, so that there was nobody left but Clownface. So that's where it's off to. You guys head to the bodega, because that's always just one jump away. And we're actually going to do roll set a course. So that's plus your... your supply is at plus 5, because you guys resupplied last. So...
All right.
Oh, good.
A 1 versus a 1 and an 8. So a weak hit.
All right, you guys take... So you set it into the computer. Black Box is actually really trying to help you because the coordinates that are coming up keep kind of changing. It takes you a lot longer to get there than you think, and it's you guys are almost out of fuel, which would be terrifying, because if you ran out of fuel, like, in hyperspace outside of your own universe, you don't know what would happen. So you guys lose a... what is the direct consequence? Not combat moves, not separate moves. Set a course. Yeah, you guys just... You end up... Spike gets stressed out a little bit, so you lose one spirit, so you will go from plus 4 to plus 3, which you can endure stress, do the whole, like, roll... Oh, wait a second. And we lose a supply, so you're at plus 4. Just because it takes you a while, and you guys, like, end up, like, throwing some stuff in there to, like, basically, you come up with a stupid way to kind of power your engine a little bit more just so that you make it there. You guys pop out of hyperspace, and the lights are off at the bodega. So it's normally got that flashing neon light of Mr. E's Bodega Bar and Grill and the arrows. None of that is lit. The bodega itself looks... it doesn't look really any different. Because it's that kind of white, blurry sphere that's dark inside. Or usually it's a little bright inside. It's dark inside now. But you do get a message immediately upon arrival. Or getting hailed, basically.
Alright. What should I say?
Who the fuck are you guys? How'd you get here?
Who the fuck are you? Where's Mr. E?
Mr. E.
Mr. E is fucking gone, man. Like, you guys... You start seeing the light inside of... Like, out... Because remember, there's like... It's a blurry sphere, but there's an area that's kind of like it's a shell that's been broken, and you can see all the cracks, but there's like a force field over that. You start seeing the light out of there turn, like, flicker and then turn on. It's like, landing permissions are on. You guys, fuck. Wait, are you guys the fucking Golden Goons? Where the fuck have you been?
We followed a jellyfish.
We don't know.
Now we're here. No. It's a long story.
Oh, fuck. All right, so you guys land. There are not... So normally when you guys come in, there's been, like, sporadic ships around. This place is empty, except for the few ships you do see actually look like they're broken down and, like, we're in the midst of either... trying to be repaired or being scrapped for parts. It's really hard to tell when it's just that disassembled. But you guys land in your normal parking spot. And, you guys are able to enter the bodega. When you enter, it has a smell to it. Like, it's... Oh, you guys have been in space long enough. You know what it's like when a station's like the filters, the filters that like scrub bad stuff out of the air, when they start failing and are like the filters aren't changed, all this, like, it feels like a station that's breaking down. In front of the doorways are actually like piles of shit, not feces though, but like the booths. Some of the booths have been ripped out of like the walls and have been put up as barricades. There's some scorch marks that have hit that have you see some damage as you're walking down the stairs into the place. But there's been pathways like pushed out of the way, like so you're able to bypass the barricades. And once you guys get in there, you see especially Solrock actually see somebody who's familiar looking. It is a like anthropomorphic bunny. But it's looking old. It's kind of it's definitely looking harried. One of its ears is basically like shot in half, like it's missing half an ear, and it's definitely and it's in like full battle armor and has like a lot of tools around a belt around it, but it also has a giant rifle strapped to its back. That it's kind of you see its hands kind of moving towards, but it looks like a much older version of the rabbit person you saw in your vision, but like I don't know, something like almost 20 years older. And then you also see, well, it's you're pretty sure it is. It is Mongoose Taylor, the guy you met who was pissed drunk, he's also a fighter pilot. He is also in his nice armor that he had from before, but it's beaten to shit. There's parts of it missing. He's got his entire right arm is gone, like there's no armor there, and it is a robotic arm replacement. A bunch of scarring on the side of that same side of their face, and you see that the right eye is also a robotic eye. And you're like, what? Where the fuck have you guys been? You don't look any older either.
Damn, Mongoose, you look like shit.
Man. And this is the best time around, so yeah, fuck it, man. Oh. So I'm guessing time travel.
That's what we think.
So how, wait, so is this like you've only been gone for a week or something? Like, is this you just
I'm high as fuck. I don't know time normally, you know?
gotcha. What's the last thing you guys remember doing?
There was
Man.
this fucking space jellyfish.
Okay, well there.
We met up with Tsunami Vasquez, right? We're
Oh
doing this.
yeah.
How long ago was that?
Dude, that was 17 cycles ago. That was right. Oh shit, you guys. Oh shit. So when you guys disappeared before the peace talks, this is immediately after that for you?
Well, I guess
Yep.
so.
Oh fuck. Okay, that explains some shit. Yeah, we do. Like, I mean, you probably got at least 20 messages from me because I'm fucking Tsunami's right hand man for this whole thing. Yeah, we couldn't find you. You guys, fuck yeah. You got we didn't do well after you guys disappeared. Things went to shit pretty bad. The fucking Forge Spawn fucking attacked the peace conference. The fucking whatever that fucking AI that was in, taking over shit took over. It sounds like it started taking over shit from then. I don't know, man. Like. I'm pretty sure the Mormon Federation guy, that Lehi dude, I think he got replaced in that in that forge spawn attack, I don't know. I think those guys were working together. I don't know. We've been trying to find this guy here, fucking Snuffle, and he like kind of like taps the rabbit person on like the shoulder. He's been fucking fine. He found out like the Ascendancy made some sort of weapon. Weapons. I don't know. We've been trying to track him down. We found like a few different vaults, but they were all the shit was gone already. They look like I don't know, fighter planes or something. That's why he got me involved, because you know I'm a good pilot, and yeah, I don't know. So we've been looking for that shit, but fuck. What's up?
Yo, we came up on those fighter planes.
We did.
Like, the bunny person's like, they weren't even that, they were in the, he fucking, like, loses his shit for a little, like, he wanders off, and you just hear, fuck, fuck, and you just hear, like, things get smashed. Like, what the fuck, we couldn't even, they already had them?
I'd be like, Snuffles, chill the fuck out, and I, like, try to hand him a blunt.
But he takes it and just started. He just sucks on it. Like
Tom and Jerry, like one hit.
Yes, trying his best just to get it all. His ear and a half droop down. Fucking like takes. He wanders back behind the bar part and is just like looking and searches throughout. Like he hands you back the blunt and he starts looking for bottles, but. Keeps throwing them out because they're empty.
I go through my satchels and like I pull out an ancient tequila bottle.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Do you know how many people are dead because we couldn't find those ships? Fuck! No wonder Aaron was all.
Yeah, planet, man, like half the population just disappeared.
Dude, yeah, it's that AI. So as soon as the Triumvirate, like, combined, they started giving people over to the Forge Spawn. And so the Forge Spawn, they're fucking huge. They swarmed the rest of, like, any of the disputed territory that people... If they wouldn't join, they just got swarmed by Forge Spawn and fucking... They slaughtered... Millions died and got absorbed into them. I don't know. They were, before they were like, oh, it's the crimes of the Nimbus did this, but they just slaughtered everybody. And then the fucking weird things started coming out of the gates, like the animal people, and then the monsters. I don't know. It's been fucking crazy out here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, bro.
Yeah, dude. Oh.
You're saying the Forge Spawn did this?
The Forge Spawn kind of followed... Yeah, the Forge Spawn destroyed a lot of life, and then these monster things, like, slithered out of the gates and fucked up the Forge Spawn. So...
They attacked the Forge Spawn?
They attacked the Forge Spawn, yeah. They've attacked anything and everything that basically moves.
What's happened to the AI?
Oh, well, we basically fucked it all the way up. This is what's left, and Snuffle whistles, and a kind of a sphere comes out, and it really reminds you of like a larger version of what you guys took into the past and copied Black Box with. This is like twice the size and has like tools and stuff coming off of it, but you can see into it that there's like a big lens, and the lens looks like the sphere you guys used. And the Snuffle goes, hey, this is Wallow, WAL0, the wonderful aerial wacky, my prototype. And I yep. This is all that was left of the AI. I rebuilt it. Oh, that fucking thing, man. Like, it took us forever. We had to hunt down every single one of the vaults that it was, like, in. and destroy them, destroy their network. And then we hunted this last piece down. Took us two forever. But yeah, we did it. We had some help, and we lost some friends along the way. And yeah, this is what's left of it. It's basically, we're using it to power the bodega right now. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. Yeah, things are going to fucked, guys.
I look at Jose and I'm like, yo, should we introduce him to BB?
Let's do it.
I feel like Jose should just always carry BB with him when he leaves the ship. So he just opens his palm and like BB pops up.
I'm cool with that. I can be BB's vessel.
All right.
Old Master Chief.
Which is like BB downloads itself from the ship into your suit, and the two of them start communicating in sounds and lights and all sorts of shit, and you're like not able to follow this. You guys get a little, do you try to stop that? Is that what you're doing?
No, I was just joking.
Okay.
Let them do their thing. It's like children.
Way more ancient.
Yeah, and so the two of them start talking, basically, and like, what? And Mongoose is like, well, if you guys want to see Aram's well, what's left of him is back here, or his shell? I don't know. If you guys could figure it the fuck out, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, because it's been like 3 years of me picking around with this thing, and I don't have a clue what it is. Do you guys want to go see Aram's body?
Who's Aram?
Yes.
Aram Tarum, Mr. E.
That's Mr. E?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go see his body.
Bro, is
he just got him in a thing?
Behave yourself.
If he's a what?
Got him in a thing like a mummy at a museum.
Mongoose takes you into the back room that you've never actually been in, which just seems to, like, you open the door and you're like, holy shit, this is huge. It's like that warehouse from Raiders of the Lost Ark at the end, where it just pans out and you just see there's stuff that just goes on forever. But not too far in is where it looks like Aram's body took a shot, some sort of laser blast, and the head is like fragged all the way through, like the left side's just gone. And you just see circuitry. But he is taken up. So Aram always wore that white shirt and those blue, the denim overalls. And he's been kind of stripped a little bit. So the shirt's been pulled up to like up where his nipples. Well, he has no nipples. It's like a flat, like the chest is flat, like a piece of, I mean, it's slightly curved, but there's no like pecs. It's just smooth, except for in the middle, in the belly, and so the overalls have been pulled down to expose the big belly portion that just kind of jutted out from him. There was like a whole kind of glass or some sort of transparent container that has been busted open. And there's nothing. There's like a big old container in the belly that's empty. And there's like a puddle of something, dried something on the floor. But it's like an orange color. But it's long since dried. And that's what you're seeing. And so inside Aram Tarum's body, it's just a lot of electronics, and then like a solid like. If somebody wants to roll a gather information, I can. We'll see what you learn.
I suppose I can. If only our fucking medic was here.
Wait, hold on. Can I roll for info with BB when I got on with me or some shit like that?
Yeah, you guys can totally use BB for help.
I have the AI upgrade, don't I?
Well, no, you guys, yeah, the Overseer, you guys have that. When you, oh, if you want to secure an advantage on this roll, you could roll the integrity of the ship, which is +5, to try to use Black Box to help with this investigation. So okay, if you want to roll that secure an advantage first, that'll be +5.
Yeah, I think I'll roll the final roll, but we'll secure an advantage first with BB.
Cool. Oh, yeah, and you don't have dice, right?
I don't. Jose. I do have okay. dice.
So who can you guys roll for him?
Yeah, please, Carlos.
All right, Carlos.
Something about Carlos's rolls, dude.
It's a don't 2 versus a 5 and a 2.
Got me a whole ship earlier.
It's a 2 versus a 5 and a what?
An 8.
Huh. Well, it's a weak hit because we have the +5 from the ship's integrity. So that gives you a total of 7. Weak hit on... Oh, that was on the secure an advantage on a weak hit. Oh, so then Spike... Or Luke, you get to choose on this next. You can either take +2 momentum to bring you up to 4, or you can take +1 on this next roll. On this roll for gathering info.
+1.
Cool. So then it'll be +4 for the gather information roll. All
right. The hard dice. A 6 versus a 2 and an 8. Strong hit.
Yep. On a strong hit, you discover something helpful and specific. Your path must follow... the path you must follow or action, blah, blah, blah. Take +2 momentum. So you got the 2 momentum anyway. So you're at +4. So the information you get about... So this... The body you're looking at... is a severely damaged puppet that whatever was in the belly literally controlled this whole body. It was literally all puppeted and manipulated from that centerpiece. How that actually worked is... a technology Black Box doesn't even understand. But this, the whoever, whatever Aram Terram was or is, like, that whatever was in that center bit, unless it was that orange goo that's dried on the floor, you don't have a fucking clue what was there. But though that could be it. It actually seems, you got a strong hit. You got a strong hit. Black Box basically comes up with the idea that how this body probably works is it's like a being, a multidimensional being, kind of like the jellyfish. Basically, something similar... basically reached inside of this and was controlling this like a puppet.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Aram might not be dead, but definitely isn't here now.
Interesting.
I try to empath this, like, see if I can feel a spirit out there somewhere.
Okay. Give that a shot. And I'm going to give you a plus one because you've known Aram for a while now. You guys have a bond.
So it's a 3 versus a 3 and a 10.
3 plus, well, even with that plus 4, that's still a 7. So it's a weak hit. Let's see. Oh, it's a weak hit on your ability, though. Okay, so you are gaining plus 1 momentum to bring you to 6. On a weak hit, visions are murky. So you're getting the sense that the being of Aram Terim has been basically captured and is like being held against their will by other creatures, some other force. That he is alive, but he is in a place and in a way that you can't really contact him. You can sense that he still exists, but that you're not able to contact. But you get the. Let's see, what else do you learn though? He is alive, but yeah, he's unable to affect the world anymore.
Do we have any sense of how to get to him?
No, it's literally he is. Actually. The problem is it would be like a journey through hyperspace, plotting in a way that you as a human being don't understand how to pilot the ship that way. The where and the how are too alien. 'Cause you can only really think and see in the three dimensions of space, and then you can understand time, but we don't see time, and you would have to be able to see time to navigate to get to this guy.
All right, bro. Can you find where your jellyfish homie is? The one that actually likes you?
Yeah, can we look for that jellyfish dude?
Not the one that took us here, but the one that likes us.
Maybe any of the other ones, honestly.
Yeah, any friendly.
So when you reach out, that one of the things that I think you're also you don't have to roll for this, you start reaching out for Aram Terim, and because you're just trying to you're trying to use your bond to feel that, and you're reaching out with your feelings, and you don't sense any other the jellyfish beings. You don't sense any of them here. None of them. There's a very distinct lack of their presence that you never knew you had been feeling before. But it's as if, a million different voices just aren't there in the background anymore. And it's, you're going to roll, we're going to do a roll a plus heart roll to see how you handle that.
It's a 1 versus a 6 and a 7.
Oh, shit. So you are going to take minus 2 to your spirit as it's kind of gut-wrenching, man. So you drop from plus 5 to plus 3. You can roll to endure stress, and you could, probably get some spirit back either way, unless you get another miss. But, yeah, and plus you'd be rolling plus 3 either way.
I'll be honest, y'all. My spirits are low.
Yeah, it's like a gut punch to you reach out there and it's like if all of the natural sounds of the forge, like in that space, they're all quiet, completely quiet.
Right. I start rolling another blunt, but this time just a little more sad.
Oh. I'm gonna go take a quick bathroom break. Actually, do we want to take a break or just a quick break?
I'll be down for a bathroom break.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See you guys.
To learn what happens, keep listening. This show is brought to you ad-free by Privilege. No ads, no Patreon, just a cishet white man with disposable income and time. It is performed, edited, and all that good stuff by Redstone Archender. The story is powered by the game Ironsworn Starforged by Sean Tompkin. Outro by Glitter Snitchel, Channeling the Spirits. This has been a Sofa King Cool production.